praise tonight. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, you brought any burdens tonight? Well, let's just go ahead and let them roll back in the sea. Amen. And just say, Lord, you take it away. Amen. Well, Brother Justin, you might as well just sit over here by Brother John or something, you know, just to keep the symmetry. Oh, okay. I got you, brother. Oh, all right. All right. God bless you all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to hear the testimonies and all that the Lord's been doing for us. He's faithful. He's a good God. He loves us. Amen. He's done exceedingly abundantly more than anything we ever could have asked or thought. If you have your Bibles, let's get right into the Word tonight. Matthew chapter 13. Starting at verse 44. Matthew chapter 13. Starting in verse 44. There, give me an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Like to preach tonight a simple topic that this got more and more involved as I studied it, but I'd like to preach tonight on the treasure seeker. The treasure seeker. Let's bow our heads before the Lord with our heads bowed and our hearts as well. If there's a need on your heart you'd like to lift up, now you pray, you hold that need there. Yes, He knows every heart. We've had testimonies that He's heard prayers that took in years, but hallelujah. He's here tonight. Let's pray and invite the Lord in the service. Blessed Lord Jesus, how we thank you for gathering us again, Lord. How we thank you, as a brother prayed earlier, that we even have a desire to be here, Lord, that you've drawn us out of the world, Lord, into your marvelous light. We pray that tonight that you'll come, Lord, that you'll do what you promised, that you will roll away all of our burdens, Lord, that you will take away all the things sin has done and all its attributes, Lord. For truly, it's none of ours, Lord. It's not even our inheritance. It's been washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Lord. And the Holy Ghost is witness to it tonight. Heal the sicknesses that's come tonight. Take away the burdens, Lord. Lord, and may we be careful to turn around and not like the other nine lepers that just took their blessing and went on their way, but the one that was a Samaritan that turned back and said, Lord, thank you. Lord, we come tonight expecting great things and a heart full of gratefulness to you. Thank you, Lord, for being here to, as you promised, where two or three are gathered, you're going to be here, Lord, and we believe that. Move upon the scene, Lord. Take your word off these pages and feed the children of God tonight as we commit the service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. How I thank God for the message of the hour and the truth that we have, brother, sister. It's so precious. It's more precious than gold to me. As we just read there, it's a pearl of great price. It takes something that, you know, brother, we just read two stories there and you're about to find out. I kind of have two sermons in one. I'll just spoil it now. But from two verses, or three verses rather, but two little stories and how we know before when we were in the world, we just would have read through this and thought, oh, that was kind of nice. But, you know, there's a meaning behind that word. God didn't write the eternal word. It just haphazardly was just some shallow meaning. No, that's what makes the word different than everything else in life, is you can think you understand it and then God will unveil it more and show you that there's more to it and there's more to it and there's more to it. And it'll just keep feeding your soul. It'll just keep feeding your faith. You'll begin to realize that there's not one kink in the armor nowhere. Hallelujah. It's fitted perfectly together. The word is exactly right every time. The skeptics come against it, try to correct it, thought this should have been changed, that should have been changed. They found out, nope, just leave it the way it was. You give it enough time, man will catch up and realize that God was right in the beginning. Amen. He's not a dumb God. He's a smart God. But this message, brother, sister, I can't emphasize that enough to you tonight, like how this just kept unfolding. I had to just stop. Brother Brother Roy, I didn't want to keep you until 12 tonight, you know, and had to kind of cut her down. Brother John, I know you got work in the morning, but and I know you're here for the Word of God. You don't want some just push-through sermon and just get her done, you know, just put a tag mark on the list. I went to church. No, we're here to feed on the Word of God. Amen. But I believe in being a little timely here. So, but first, I want to say it like this, brother, sister. The kingdom of heaven is like a man seeking a goodly pearl. When he found the pearl of great price, he saw all that he had and purchased that pearl. I'm here to tell you, too many people, when they've come to this gospel, sure don't treat it like a pearl of great price. They treat it like something that's just a burden and it's just terrible and it's like the hardest thing you could ever do is serve the Lord and have to sacrifice. They act like it's some cheapo thing. You mean I got to stop watching this show and stop dressing this way? And it's just, that don't sound like no pearl of great price to me. That sounds like something that you couldn't care less whether you had it or not. But that's not the way the kingdom of heaven is to be. That's not the way the kingdom of God is to us tonight. It's the pearl of great price, no matter what the cost. It doesn't matter to the Son of God. He has found the thing that satisfies His soul, and it's worth everything else. That's when you know you've found the true gospel, is when nothing can take its place, when nothing can equate its value. Glory, as long as you found a pretty good pearl, you're still looking, brother. As long as you found a lot of good pearls, you're still looking. But when you find that one pearl of great price, it don't matter how many good pearls you have, they're gone. I heard a shirt one time, or read a shirt rather, on the back, a very good phrase, I thought. It says, if you want to be the best, pretty good has to become pretty bad. If you want to be the best, pretty good has to become pretty bad. Why? You're going for a higher standard, and you've got to get away from just sympathizing. Brothers, sister, hear me tonight. The message that we've been given has unlocked every redemptive blessing, every Pentecostal power that God ever gave to the church is in our possession, and it's our inheritance. How far we live below our privileges. God, increase our faith to just reach up and say, this is mine because God gave it to me. Now, Jesus did tell us to seek and we would find, and that's where I want to start this at tonight. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and if you got your pens, write them down. I got a whole list tonight. But Matthew, actually, we'll start here. Matthew 6:31 says, therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewith shall we be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And brother, sister, I know as a son of God that served Him for years, and anybody that's taken God at His word, that word is right. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will take care of themselves. As long as we put anything else in front of the kingdom of God, I'm here to tell you, you got no promise the rest of that's going to take care of itself. But if you put God first, I'm here to tell you, you pay your tithes, you do what God's told you, you come to church, you worship the Lord, you follow Him in obedience, I'm here to tell you, the bills will be paid. Amen. There'll be food on the table, there'll be clothes waiting for you at home. There'll be the presence of the Lord to get you through. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not your neighbor's righteousness, not your pastor's righteousness, but His righteousness. Amen. And all these things be added to you. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hebrews 11:6, you know this as well, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They asked Jesus one time what the greatest commandment, and the man said, it's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. What Jesus said, you're not very far from the kingdom. That's right. But I tell you what, if you seek God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, there ain't a person in the world that's ever not come in contact with Him. Amen. And I've watched people pick one and the other. Samson gave God all his strength, didn't give Him all his heart. The Pharisees gave God all their mind, but didn't give Him all their soul. That's right. But a man that'll lay down his life, lay down his heart, lay down his soul, seek God with all that's in him, with all of his mind. That's why I don't believe in this letting your mind go blank and not think about nothing. No, you're honed in on the Lord. You're thinking about him and your love for him, and you're seeking him, knowing that he promised these things, that he promised to answer me, and you won't quit. Amen. Why? With all your strength. Amen. Don't even just give him all your heart. Give him all your strength. And when you can't go any further, go further. Why? He promised it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Sell out everything for this promise. Sell out everything for the Lord. You'll come out way ahead. I'm here to tell you. Out of expectation 61, it says, the Bible said, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's right. You seek him with all your heart. Again, get down to business. God will be there to meet you. That's right. But you have to not just kind of slop way through. You've got to come right straight to God and confess everything and lay it out and come on those grounds, and God will meet you there. He will do something for you. He will answer your prayers. And this promise ain't even a New Testament promise, because the same God, the same Jehovah from the Old Testament, is the Jesus of the New, and the same response he gave before is the same one he gives now. Because he told him in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if ye from thence, he said, when you were scattered about from backsliding and everything else, and I send you to the four winds, if from there, you say, I'm backslid as all get out. If from there, brother, I'm here to tell you, you got a promise. You don't got to stay way out there. You ain't got a God pushed you out there. He did it because you sinned, but he's going to bring you back. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And I'm going to tell you, it's all or nothing. You seek God with half the heart, you won't hear from him. You seek God from everything but one thing, you won't hear from him. But I'm here to tell you, any son and daughter of God, from the biggest to the least, if he can hit his knees, the kingdom of the devil begins to shake, because all he's got to do is lay his whole heart on that altar. And the devil knows better than we do that God will come rushing in the scene and take care of all those things that the devil's been doing. Hallelujah. Very familiar scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I say, God, get rid of our thoughts and accept his. Amen. Then, when you realize it's his thoughts, then shall you call upon me, and he shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when you search me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again to the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Brother Brand was talking about Rebecca and Isaac also, and how Rebecca just fell in love with the idea of who Isaac was. It's revelation, brother. I'm going to tell you that right now. She sold house, land, everything. Said, yes, I'll go with this stranger to a strange land and marry a strange man I've never seen in my life. Why? Once she heard the call, what was it? It was the pearl of great price. It was worth everything. Even her own family tried to show up and said, look, give us a few days. What did Eliezer say? He says, nope, today's the day. Don't get tell God that, oh, I need a few days. Nope, today's the day, brother. Yep. You say, well, I don't get nowhere when I do that. Do you seek him with all your heart yet, or 99%? Right. Amen. Too many times that's what happens at this altar too, isn't it? Yep. We seek him with 99%. Wonder why nothing happened. Right. We seek him with everything, but we know in our hearts of hearts that there's something we're holding back and we're afraid to say it. Right. Acting like we're hiding from God. How stupid are we? Right. I said we. We try to pretend like we can hide something from him. He knows all things, so why hide it? All things are naked before him. You might as well tell him. Well, somebody else might hear me. What in the world do you care about them when you know the King of Kings knows all about it? That's when you know you're seeking with all your heart. I'm telling you right now, when you go to pray through, and you even tonight, if you got a need on your heart, if you bring anybody else in that inner chamber, brother, sell it out. You'll get nowhere with that. But you'll get everywhere just going in there alone with him.
said that's a type of the bride coming out of desperation 63. It says you've never seen Christ, but you hear by his servants what he is. You sell out everything, leave your homes, everything else it takes to go find him. Can you say amen? Amen. And this ain't something you are going to understand. Tell me what Rebecca knew about Isaac. All she knew was the testimony of Eliezer. He's a son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Who's ours? He's the seed of Abraham. He's the royal one that came and conquered for us. That's all I know about him, brother. That's all you need to know. Obey the call and follow the leading. But what? That's the point I'm bringing us to, brothers. This pearl of great price. Look, why wasn't anybody else buying it? Because it was a hidden mystery. Why wasn't anybody else concerned? Because nobody else was seeing the value in it. Why are we waiting for the masses to find the value in the message we believe? It's never going to happen. Even amongst those that claim to believe this word, I'm here to tell you, they'll never find the real value of it like the predestinated son and daughter of God, because they won't sell out. I'm here to tell you, brother, sister, I've had people, and it makes it hard. It makes it hard to not let our hearts wax cold because people ask us to pray for things and God answers and then they don't want it. I've seen it, brother. I've got one from tonight even. Somebody asked me, pray I can get off work because I really want to come to church, brother. Brother Andrew, you know, pray with me, I can get off work. Guess where they're at tonight? At a T-ball game. God gave you the night off. And look, it's hard, I get it, but it just shows it's not the pearl of great price. It's the pearl of some price. It's worth some things. Some actions are worth more than others. Brother, sister, look, if the gospel is what it is, everything else comes second. Not even close. I'm not even like first and then. No, it's him. And if I had a chart, it'd be down in the tube somewhere where everything else belongs. Why is that so hard for us to comprehend? It's because too many of us, the Lord's an idea, not a person. Too many of us, he's a thing. It's a trial. It's a hardship. No, he's the greatest of grace. He's a greater than 10,000 to my soul. There ain't no friend I've ever had like the Lord Jesus. There's no husband I've ever had like him. There's no friend that's been there through the thick and the thin when I treated him like dirt. He was there. He's worth all these worldly pearls that I've carried around for years. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. All the things that we like getting our life back like it matters some. Brother, sister, when it comes between Christ and that, get rid of it. Amen. Sell it out, my brother. Amen. And buy the pearl of great price. You say, well, what can I buy it with? That's what's so great about this pearl. It was already purchased. People act like they're meriting something by repenting. You're not meriting anything. You're just getting the thing out of the way so you can accept what you need. The pearl was paid for. Yeah. Glory to God. I'm like, okay, all right. Don't want to preach my second just yet. Let me get you there. Don't forget that all these scriptures, that's why I'm saying I thank God for this message. There's a mystery there. It's a hidden mystery. Look, and even my Schofield tells you it's a fifth mystery and the sixth mystery that Jesus talks about here in Matthew 13. But, and the Bible tells us, let me just quote a couple to you, Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. Don't expect the world to ever get it. Don't expect any masses to ever get it. It's the individual gets it. It's the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You're about to find out why here tonight. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I'm here to tell you, Pilate and Herod and all these, they would have never done what they did had they had a revelation who that man was. And I tell you what, they were awful close. That's right. He said, it's just John the Baptist raised back from the dead. That's why he's got all these miracles. See, they knew the miracles were happening. Pilate said, his wife came, even had a dream. He was right there. Said, who are you? Are you a king? Says, yes, but my kingdom's not of this world, or my servants would fight. And he got so frustrated with Jesus because he knew there was something about him, but he couldn't put his finger on it. Why? He was a prince of the world. He couldn't have the understanding he needed. He wasn't elected. He was looking at the Son of Man right there and had no clue who he was. He says, who are you? Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? And he didn't answer him nothing. He's like, don't you know that if you don't answer me, I'm going to kill you? He said, there's no power given to you but what given from heaven. You couldn't do nothing to me. He already done conquered already a long time ago when he's in the garden. He said, I could have called legions of angels and took care of this a long time ago. You, Pilate, you might think you're a big shot, but I know who I am. He said, everyone that hears the truth hears my voice. And what did Pilate say? What is truth? See, everything he had, when you're under the spell of the world, there is no absolute. There is no final truth. Everything's subjective. Everything's perception. You know, they say perception's reality. It is for people, but it ain't at the end of the day. There's truth and there's not truth. That's it. Like, one day, either our God's real or he ain't. That's the end be all of all. You know, and I'm glad to know he's real. And he's proved it to us. Hallelujah. But the prince of this world had no idea of this knowledge, because had they known it, had the devil known it, he would not have killed the one that he put on Calvary. Amen. He'd have kept them alive as long as possible. Why? So he could keep tempting him and tempting him, hopefully get him to sell out the kingdom. Remember, Satan tried it. And Jesus could have taken it. But what would have happened? He would have had to sell the kingdom for himself, and all of us would have perished. Now let me read one more quote to you. It's out of Harvest Time 64. It says, the word bread always means to be fed on. And man shall not live by bread like this bread. He's talking about communion. Not like this bread alone, but by every word. So that's the word bread. Keep that in mind. This is the bread that the church through every age has fed on, has been the hidden manna just for the overcomer only. The reason you can read this and digest it, that ought to give you faith tonight. You're an overcomer. You're a believer. Look, you might have faults. You got failures. We all do. We all needed Jesus to die for us. If you didn't, if you lived one moment without needing the blood, Jesus died in vain. But I need him every hour, every minute, every day, that blood. And because of that blood, this word became alive to me. I can't help but read it. I can't help but, when I don't even understand it, I still believe it. I can't help but just quote it, even when up here is telling me that it'll make any sense. Something in here already says that's what it is, though. And that's real. And you give it enough time overcoming that, those thoughts and doubts and all that, God comes around and proves it, doesn't he? Every time. Now, I looked and I looked and I looked, brother. And Brother Bram talked about the pearl of great price many times. But he never mentions the treasure hidden in the field. I found that a little amazing. And I went back and I read it again, and God poured something on my heart that I have too many scriptures and too many quotes for. Well, let's go back there once again, and I want you to look at this. Matthew 13. God help me, I ain't trying to presume now, you know, venture without authority. But the word is true. The word is right. Matthew 13, 44 again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now let's go through this first. First, I want to ask you, who is this seeker? Is it the sinner? Many of us, look, think about it for a minute. What purchasing power do you have? What purchasing power do we have? What merits do we have to purchase anything? Oh yeah, we're going the other way now. Yeah, I told you I got two sermons in one here tonight. Where's the treasure, brother? It's hid. It's hid in the field. What happened when the men found it? He hid it. What happened when the gospel came to us? Did we hide it? Not at all. We shed it abroad. We said it everywhere we could. I know, I'm taking my time. It's all right. You can stay there for a minute. You'll gain a little patience here tonight. But the first thing I want to show you, it's out of Matthew 18, 11. So for the Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more for that sheep than for the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. And look, God believed that to the point that he went after Zacchaeus, didn't he? One little sinner man that was too small to even see Jesus. Jesus made sure to go find him. Because it's out of Luke 19:8, it says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I'm here to tell you tonight, brother, sister, this seeker had the ability to make a purchase. This seeker, I hate to say it like this, I know we've typed it many ways as us, but we don't have the purchasing power. There's one that did though. And he was seeking for a treasure and he found it. And when he found it, what did he do? He hid it. And he sold out everything. He said, what did he purchase? In the pearl of great price, what did the man purchase? He purchased the great pearl. The man does not purchase the treasure. This man did not purchase the treasure. What did he purchase? He purchased the field. He purchased the whole field. And I'll just quote it to you. But it's at, hopefully, this is on recording too. You can go read it again later. But Matthew 13:36 says, "Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom." And I could keep going, but you get the point. Look, when Ruth was needing to be redeemed by Boaz, what was the proposition? Nothing in the proposition was redeeming Ruth. It was you must redeem her inheritance of those sons of Abraham. You must purchase the field of her. Look, that man, when he heard about the field, remember the closer to kin than Boaz. He heard about the field. He was all about it, brother. And the devil was all about getting the world. Whoo, glory. He was all about taking it from God and squatting on it like he has been. But when it came time to redeem it, what did Boaz tell him? When you redeem this purchase, you have to marry Ruth. And all of a sudden, the devil said, I don't want nothing to do with that holy bride. I don't want nothing to do with that bride of Jesus Christ. I can't get her to cuss. I can't get her to smoke. I can't get her to drink. I can't get her to be sexy. I can't get her to do nothing I like. She's always standing on that word. She's always repenting and coming back and weeping before God. I can't stand it. Makes me sick. And every time I push them down, they just start praising Jesus again. I can't handle them. I ain't marrying that. And that man said, I can't do it. And then Boaz said, all right, fine. Remember, he took the shoe off and redeemed. I forget the whole process, but you understand. As a testimony, brought the judges and everything. Do you know what happened the second after that purchase was made? You never hear about a field. You never hear about possessions. You never hear about nothing. You hear about one thing. You hear about Ruth. First John tells us that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. This man that came looking for treasure found it hidden in a field. But he had to purchase the field. Our Lord Jesus had a treasure he was looking for, and it was hid away to where the princes of this world didn't know it. The hidden wisdom, which was there for our glory. And instead, he didn't just purchase. If he had purchased the treasure, the devil might have caught it. But he died for Cain. He died for Balaam. He died for the devil if he would have accepted it. But what Brother Ram said, he'd have to accept the blood and then he'd be your brother, and he ain't going to do that. The one who was seeking had the purchasing power. And when he saw, just as Boaz recognized, I must buy the inheritance to have this woman as my wife. When Jesus saw that bride that he wanted from the foundation of the world, this is a predestinated purchase now. This is a predestinated purchase. This is something he knew he was going to do. Do you not get it yet? He wanted it. He desired it. And he had the purchasing power. The Son of Man went. He found the treasure. He sold all that he had. I came from God and I'll go back to. He sold it all. To be brought under subjection to the devil. To be tempted for 40 days. To be beaten and scourged and everything else. He went through all that for us. Why? Selling out everything he ever was. Everything that even looked like God, he got rid of it to where even the disciples didn't think it was him anymore. Even John the Baptist couldn't handle it when he was in the tomb, or in the prison rather. Why? It's the hidden wisdom. And without the Holy Ghost, you'll never see it. No man did, no man will. That's right. Without the Spirit of God, you'll never see. You'll never understand the kingdom of God. It's the lens to show you what the truth is. It's the hidden wisdom. But this man had the purchasing power. He sold all that he had and he bought the whole world. I got to quote a whole bunch of these to you. I read this, but I'm going to read again. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Where's the Trinity there? The Holy Ghost, the church of God. Don't say nothing about Jesus there. Goes to show that was the blood of God that was shed on Calvary's Hill. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. They're not ours. They're his. He purchased it. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Even when Peter brought the rebuke, you know, he talks about damnable heresies. Let me read it to you. 2 Peter 2:1, he says, but there be false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Every man can try to run away from God. Every man can say he owns something in this world. You have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. This world was redeemed in full. But what was his intention? Look, God is not learning. He knows some will be saved and he knows that those that won't. He knew that from the foundation of the world, but he knew in order to hide this from his enemy, he had to purchase the whole thing. He had to purchase to prove that he was not being partial. He purchased the whole thing for every sin, every iniquity, anything man would do. He paid the price that man could be forgiven of his sins, that the world could be purified from every effect of sin. And when that price came before the Lord, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane for the joy that was set before him, he endured it and he overcame and paid every debt from the dawn of time to eternity. And as far as God was concerned, he did it before the world ever was. But it had to be manifested for us. Aren't you glad it was manifested? So we've got the field, we've got the buyer, we've got that what he sold. But let me ask you a question here tonight. What was the treasure? What was the treasure? Well, we know some things, it was hid. We know something else, there's only one who found it. Who was it, the one? The one that was seeking and searching for that which was lost. And what did Jesus say? All that the Father has given me
will come. I won't lose a one. Brother, I don't care what part of the field you're in. It's time to recognize where the treasure is. It's a field full of seeds. Seeds that have been planted from the foundation of the world. Seeds that this sower or this man that was coming by knew were in there. These treasures that he knew he had placed. And nobody else knew about it. He weighed the cost and he paid it in full. Why? The treasure was worth more to him than the buying price. To think, as Brother Branham has said as well, it's hard to wrap our mind around it, but that God thought more of you than he did of his own son. He said, how? Because his blood is what purchased you. You are the purchase of the blood. What seed? The seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seeds were the promise made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The treasure the Lord was seeking for was his own seed planted in that field. It's not two different kinds, three different kinds. It's all the same seed. You say, well, how can we all be here individually then? If I had a tomato right here, you crack that thing open, what would you find? You find a whole bunch of seeds, but really, what do you have? You have one seed because it came from one fruit. It's the same seed. And then God took that, buried it in Calvary's Hill, and it grew back and reproduced itself to where even on the day of Pentecost, it already went 120-fold what it was. And that same seed that he was now went into them. The Word met the Word. The Word met the Word and it brought life again. Because as long as the Word in you was dormant from him, that's why he had to be manifested in these last days. There had to be the propitiation for our sins to wash away the barrier that kept you from the life that you were. And we're not born again of incorruptible things. I don't care where you were born from. I don't care what family you have, what tendencies you have. You are born again of a seed. Somebody believe it. That's incorruptible. It's incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. Oh, brother, but you don't know what I did. But you don't know my Lord and his purchasing power. I will not frustrate the grace of God. Either accept it or just turn it down. I say, God, give us faith to say, I accept that blood for me. And every redemptive blessing, why would I go back and try to purchase it? It was purchased for me. Every redemptive blessing was purchased at one time by one sacrifice in full to the end of time. How important was Calvary's Hill? Coming out of the first seal, 63, he says, now a trumpet always denotes war or otherwise political disturbance. The trumpet does a political disturbance and that causes war. When you get into these messes in politics and get them all messed up like we got it now, look out, war is at hand. Well, just for a little side sermon, yes. Amen. War is at hand. But see, the kingdom still belongs to Satan. He's still got this part in his hand. Because why? It is redeemed by Christ, but he's doing the part of the kinsman redeemer, taking his subjects until the last one, the last name, is put on the book, has already received it and been sealed away. Now you got it? Nobody said amen. This said congregation says amen. So once that last seed's sealed, that's what he came to redeem. Then he comes from his throne. His father's throne, walks forward, takes the book out of God's hand from the throne and claims his rights. The first thing he does is call for his bride. Amen. Amen. The purchase was the treasure. And the first thing he wanted,
Oh, I know I got these coming in the second resurrection. I got this whole... But give me that bride! I've waited 2,000 years to have her. It's just like, was it Jacob, right? And, how come I can't remember Leah and Rachel? He worked and worked and worked, but what, for his love that he had for him, it was but a few days. Oh, for the Lord, oh, hallelujah. It was only 2 days. It's been 2,000 years, but for the Lord, I believe it's for his love for us. It's only been 2 days. Hallelujah. The first thing he does is call for his bride. Amen. Then what does he take? He takes his opponent, Satan, and binds him and casts him out there into the fire out there with all that followed him. So he gets you safe, then he destroys your enemy. Glory to God. Jehovah Jireh 62, part 2. He says, now therefore I believe that God of the Old Testament, all that he was, he poured into Jesus, his son. And all that Jesus of the New Testament was, he poured in the church that he purchased with his own blood. See? A little while, the world cosmos, the world order will see me no more. Why? Hidden wisdom. They can't see it. They don't understand it. Yet ye shall see me. See the church, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Then the life, that contract, that spirit that was took out of Christ at Calvary is brought back and poured upon the people. The seed of Abraham that God made the promise to. Remember, it wasn't to all the seeds, but the seed. All right, you're going to read this one with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. My, what a word. I'm just going to start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now listen, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Where was the treasure hid? It was hid in you. It was hid there. In earthen vessels, to where the world would never see it. And if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. But God, that commanded the light to shine, commanded the light to shine, hath shined where? In our hearts. Why? By his treasure. You are his treasure that he counted worthy, worthy to die for, worthy to bear with. Worthy to seek and to seek. Oh my, we ran and ran, and he sought and he sought, and we ran and hid, and he kept digging and looking, but he found it. And when he found that treasure, he said, I'm going to buy the whole field because I want the treasure. I want that hidden manna. What was that hidden wisdom? Not for his own glory, but God, that commanded the light to shine in the darkness, wanted his glory in you. Amen. Who is the true treasure seeker tonight?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm seeking him. Don't get me wrong. That's why I started there. He's worth everything to me. But brother, sister, never try to approach a God that you think doesn't care. That's right. that you don't think loves you, I'm here to tell you, whatever you've ever sought him for, he has sought for you 1,000,000,000 times more. As the prophet said, we never sought God. God sought us. We are all like sheep gone astray. All of us. God even led me to show you I was a sheep gone astray like any other boy, any other man. We're all sheep gone astray. But we needed a shepherd to come find us. We need somebody to realize that we got a temper to deal with. We're going to have to beat it out of us. We need somebody to realize we weren't going to have the right spirit and promise to give us a new one before he could even start dealing with us. How many was there? Oh, you remember going to church and saying, move me, preacher. Yeah, right. Just water on a duck's back, stone cold. You ain't going to do nothing to me today, preacher. You ain't got a spirit for God to work with. So what did God say? Well, that my treasure's in there. I'm going to have to do something about this. So you know what I'll do? I'll promise him a new spirit. And then all of a sudden, you started getting soft. All of a sudden, you start having different thoughts, thinking, you know what? Maybe this is true. Maybe there's something about this. Maybe there is a God that actually loves me. Maybe there is a God that cares about me. Maybe this Bible ain't just something that hangs on the shelf, but it's a living word. And what did that new spirit lead you to? Oh, it didn't stop there. It led you to his spirit. So that you and him could be one. The buyer and the treasure could be united back again. Hallelujah. Coming out of a trial 64. It says, think of it. Think of it. Can you shake yourself just a little bit? The very God that made the promise, he is here, making it known right on earth today, proving it. Here is his scriptures. Nobody has to interpret it. It's already interpreted. And he purchased my salvation. Won't you accept it? I said, brother, I could have quote after quote, scripture after scripture. I could have just kept hounding. This thought is inexhaustible. Who's the one that made this world? Who's the one that had the purpose for this world? That's right. And all I want to say is God, people hate election. Well, yeah, if you're on the wrong side of God's purpose. But if you're on the right side, election is the most glorious word you could ever tell me. You mean to say, before I ever could have messed this up, somebody sealed me in? You're telling me before I could ever make the choice to not accept it, somebody accepted me? You're telling me. When I was a treasure hid and buried of my own devices, running away, hiding from him, didn't want nothing to do with him, that he would seek me and seek me and seek me till he found me. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I'll give you just one example. I'm going to close on this thought. We were even talking to the boys. We were reading the Bible here maybe 2 days ago or so. But we were talking about when they casted lots. After Judas had went and killed himself, they said, we got to find a 12th apostle. There's got to be 12. And let another man take his bishopric. And they casted lots. And it was just Justice and Barsabbas and Matthias. And the lot fell on Matthias. And you know what? You never hear another word about that man. Now, I believe the Lord, he's still a son of God. I believe that with all my heart. But as far as an apostle, God never called him to it. You never hear about him again in the Bible. He was probably a great preacher. Probably a good man. Probably honorable in the church. Probably had a lot of wisdom. Look, they didn't all just mindlessly follow everybody like everybody thinks. That's why this whole idea of even Peter being the Pope doesn't make a lick of sense. Because when the dispute came up, they went with James. So, and then Paul rebuked. Yeah, anyways. But so what did God do? See, God didn't just say, okay, yeah, that's fine. That's the 12th apostle I want. Here's what God did. He said, oh, I found me a hidden treasure. You know where it is? It's in a man who's actually killing and persecuting and putting Christians in jail. That's where it is. It's hidden him. It's hidden Saul of Tarsus. I've hid the greatest apostleship the world will ever see in a man. You don't tell me it's hidden. You think you were hidden? That man was hidden. to the point the disciples didn't believe his testimony for a long while. They said, oh my, I don't know about, even Ananias, from the Lord. The angel of the Lord met him and said, go pray for Saul. And what did Ananias say? He told them, you sure? How hidden was that treasure? But it was there. There's one who knew it. And what did he tell Ananias? He said, Ananias, go and pray for him. But I'm here to tell you, he's a chosen vessel and he will suffer such glorious things for me. He will bring a light to the Gentiles. God hid his treasure in a man named Saul, knocked him down on the road to Damascus, and brought to life that treasure out of him. And we're still reading about it today. We still base our faith on it today. Don't tell me God don't know what he's doing. He said, brother, I'm awful buried tonight. I'm here to tell you there's a treasure seeker. He's looking for you. I think the least we could do is look for him. That's why God could say that. I believe that with all my heart. He says, when you seek me with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, you'll be found in me. Why? Because he's sitting there waiting on you with all that he can. He's on every corner. He's on every wall. He's on everything you look at. Every time you get backslid, he's there speaking to you. You see him in the street sign. You see him, you know, you see a stop sign. You think, yep, stop sinning. You see a red light. Say, God, help me, warning me. Come on. You see a yellow and think, oh, it's coming soon. And everything. He's just constantly, why? He said, I can't let that treasure stay hid. It's got to come out of there. I say, Lord, I'm tired of going the hard way. Here I am. If I'm still buried, dig me out. If I'm still dirty, wash me up. If I'm still empty, fill me to the brim till my cup overflows and I can help somebody else. But here I am, Lord. Don't let me be a treasure running away. Lord, you're a treasure seeker for me. Let me be a treasure seeker for you. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Oh, he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. I got a song we sang it a little while. It's the key of D, 626. You probably know it if you don't turn there. 626. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray? Not my will, thine, Lord. The answer I may never know is why he ever loved me so. But to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? I think it goes right to D here after me.
Who am I that a king would lead and die for? Who am I that he would pray? Not my.
said, who am I, my brother? You're His treasure. Hallelujah. There's a song on my heart. It's only got part of it in here. It's still the key of D, but it's song 440. I just play a D here, brother.
Amazing grace will always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty.
Yeah.
On your heart, step out tonight. Hallelujah. The treasure's not hidden no more. It's been purchased, it's been redeemed. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your name. His presence is here. Every promise is here. Every redemptive blessing is here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Lord Jesus! Every veil's torn down. We are a mighty army. We're more than overcomers through Him that loved us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father God, I stand before the bride of Jesus Christ. I say the scripture fulfilled. Every joint supplying. Lord Jesus, everyone bound in cords of love, loving one another fervently. And Lord, we come tonight according to your promise, according to your word. Satan, you kingdom of hell, you have no power here. You have no rights here to keep sickness on any person, to keep a backslidden life on any son of God. But tonight we expose you. Been redeemed. You have no right. We've been bought by the precious blood. Leave this place in the name of Jesus Christ. That the sons and daughters of God may rejoice in their inheritance. Lord, we know one day we'll reap the full benefits, but tonight the purchase is within us. The Holy Spirit, the down payment, the tithe, every redemptive blessing is here. And I pray for every daughter of God, every son of God, that every chain of the enemy be loosed for the glory of God. Hear the prayers of your saints. May be many trophies for your glory here tonight. Jesus Christ, we pray. Oh, blessed be the holy name of God. Blessed be the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. That's it, children. Receive and then praise Him and then thank Him. Believe it. Apply it. Oh, hallelujah. Don't be afraid of the promise. It's yours. Don't be afraid to fight for it. It's yours. Don't be afraid to stomp on the devil's head. You are more than an overcomer through Christ. Woo! Glory to God in the highest. Oh, we thank you for the pouring of your Spirit, Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, children, just worship, just in the Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, just love on the Lord. Children, just let the Spirit overshadow you. Just let it pull all the burdens off your life. Let it take all the sickness away, all the pain, all the torment, all the confusion, all the doubt. Just let the love of God take you over tonight. You are His treasure. And He's proved it again. He's proved it by hearing our prayers. Glory. God, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. He can take the hardest heart in the world and make it as soft as jelly. Glory. He can take the hardest mind there is and soften it before His presence. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father. You want to worship Him just a little while here tonight? Just the way that you do? That's right. Don't be afraid. That's right. Hallelujah. Oh, it's in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus. He's the one. It's in Jesus. Let's sing, oh hallelujah. Oh hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's in Jesus. He's the one. Oh hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's in Jesus. Praise and worship tonight.
Change your mind, baby.
Hallelujah. How many loves Him tonight? Thank you, Lord. You just want to bless His name? Anybody want to bless His name? Want to tell the Lord what He means to you tonight? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Oh, He hears your prayer.
Amen.
I'm as convinced
by
the Lord and what He's done for us that you truly are His treasure. Amen. Is He worthy of praise? Can we give Him another hand clap of praise and worship? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank the Lord before we go tonight. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Thank
say.